Welcome to Pastoring Out Loud, a podcast for South Cities Church in Lakeville, Minnesota. Learn more at southcities.church. It's snowing here on this Thursday. It's a Thursday, that's right.
Thankfully, just flurries so far.
There will be some accumulation.
It will come.
And apparently this Sunday, which will be a couple days old, by the time you hear this podcast, there will be some more snow on the ground. Significant. We won't talk about that. Hey, here's my random question. If just skipped right past your grumbling, Nick.
It's fine.
Random question. What is something that we don't have vending machines for that would be great if we had like vending machines for something? What comes to mind? Be like, this is a convenient thing that I have to go get, and just a vending machine for it would be great.
Oh boy. I don't know.
Well, slight pivot. One thing that exists that is out of the ordinary at the Cub in Apple Valley, you can get your car registration tabs from a vending machine style kiosk.
What?
Is that actually true?
That is 100% true.
Because you've done it.
I have done it. The tabs that's on my car incredible. Right now, I got from a kiosk. It took probably a full 5 minutes.
That's great.
And
Wait, tags?
The stickers. License plate registration. Yeah.
My life is...
Sorry, tabs.
Tabs. My
Not
life
tags,
has changed
tabs.
Forever.
Yeah.
That's shocking. Are you aware of anything like that, Nick, that's just kind of in some kind of wild category like that?
I mean, there's car vending machines now.
Yeah, there is.
Carvana.
That's true. That's true, where they like pull the car down.
Yeah. These actually exist.
I really would love if there were, just hear me out, prescription drug vending machines.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
But specifically, you know, only uncontrolled stuff, like only stuff where it's like uncontrolled, like as opposed to controlled, like, you know, government limited because of its ability to, you know, be addictive. But like just uncontrolled stuff.
Like off the shelf.
Yeah, either off the shelf or close to it.
Yeah. Advil.
You know, that you can pretty easily just walk up and boom. Get stuff from. Like I've got a art medication that's pretty low, like it's not a big deal, you know, and I would love to just be able to walk up to a kiosk outside a store and grab it instead of stand in the line at the pharmacy. But likelihood of that happening is
not good.
Not good. Speaking of heart medication, here we are talking about chapter 3 of
boy. The segue,
How the Nations
the segue
Rage.
Is today.
And I'm going to read the title. This I was in the membership class on Sunday, so Nick, I've heard of this class by the hearing of the ear, but you have
seen by the seeing
seen
of the
it
eye.
By the seeing of the eye. The title of the chapter is Heart, colon. Not self-exalting, but born again and justified. Like the punctuation, colon. So
that
I suppose
pause
if I'm
was
getting,
way too long.
But I'm going to be really clear. Heart, colon.
Stop saying it like that. You sound like two organs of the body.
I'm going to start over because you did that. So I want to like get all the way through this, Nick, without you interrupting. Thank you.
All right.
Heart, colon. Not self-exalting, comma, but born again and justified.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about this chapter, Nick? Why is it significant?
Well, he talks about several things in it. One of the things, actually, just to even preface before we get to the content of the chapter, Dave had a start in Sunday school just meditating on James 3, 6 to 16, which is just James's meditation on the importance of the tongue and how it has it can cause a fire and it can cause great harm or it can comfort and praise God and comfort our brothers and sisters. And he just talks about how it's so important. And it says, it ought not be that with it we curse people who are made in the image of God and praise God. Blessing and cursing should not come from the same tongue. And he just had us think about that in the context of politics and how so often we use our tongues for one of the things it talks about in this chapter, self-justification. And so one of the key things in this chapter, let me just pull up the note here. self-rule depends on self-justification, which was a really interesting thing to talk about, because if, you know, so often in political discourse or just even in our society at large, self is the thing that's in charge, right? Ourselves, our own opinions, our own desires, our own identity is what's in charge. And that depends on us justifying ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to make a case for why that's okay for self-rule to happen. And right. So just thinking about that and then how our tongues, like the way that we talk, plays a part in that was really good.
Yeah. Lehman emphasizes multiple points throughout, well, really the entire book, but here too, that the kind of clarion call of you must be justified mm-hmm. to genuinely model a body politic that like actually can do good for the world, like in an ongoing eternal kind of way, namely the church. He says that the response of the world to that is not, you know, monotonal. I'm making that word up. Maybe that's a word. It's not just like one thing. The world responds multiple ways to this news of justification. Some find it attractive. Some find aspects of it attractive, but not others. And some reject it wholesale. But the church's job is the same, regardless of the reactions in the culture to this message. This is a quote from the book. Here's the key in some ways to this entire book. For a Christian, the political life must begin inside the church in our new creation life together as local congregations. Mm-hmm. The way that humanity in the new heavens and new earth will relate to each other is blueprinted in the church. And he's going to go on, I think, in the next one of the next two chapters to say, that's the church's witness to governments the world over at all times in all places is like, look at this ideal body politic.
Yeah.
And kind of get in here with us. Like, come to that understanding.
Yep. So then he gives like four steps to undo self-justification and therefore self-rule. So he says, accept our condemnation, right? So accept that we're not, you know, we actually shouldn't be, you know, ourselves shouldn't be in charge. We're condemned. We deserve hell. Then seek God's forgiveness and righteousness. So the quote that he gives is, we no longer say I'm wiser or I'm wealthier. We only say I'm a beggar who has been given bread. The most politically significant verse in the Bible for fallen humans might just be, then what becomes of our boasting? So once we see that, we seek God's righteousness and his forgiveness. And then the third step is show mercy and seek peace. So a new heart politics begins by laying down the weapons of war, recognizing that it has received mercy, and so it extends mercy. And then four, expect persecution and praise. So yeah,
kind of both. Just,
yeah, exactly. Two right. things. Yep. Good. So those are just the, how do we undo this self-justification? Well, we start with the gospel.
Yeah.
And pointing in some ways to this ideal body politic then of the church.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think it's right then to say that he certainly argues so in the book. So here, proposition, you weren't around for this one, Nick, but proposition, the church is a political institution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think, Ethan? The church is a political institution.
Yeah, in a sense, yeah.
Yeah. So it transforms the way that we think about politics here in America or anywhere, is that we're not aligning ourselves just with those whose issues most align with what the Bible says. That's not strictly speaking what's happening. Although we're called to be faithful in every area, including voting, you know, where the Bible clearly like makes some lines and, you know, other than that, applying our God-given wisdom. But to say the church is a body politic, a political organization, means that we have a platform. We have things we're supposed to say. things that we speak into the culture around us, not for the sake of, you know, political power as the world wields it, for the sake of votes, for the sake of positions in legislatures and other things, but for the sake of, spreading this political message of a king coming and a kingdom coming.
Exactly.
And that's already present.
Yep.
That will certainly transform everything. That earthly nations sometimes look more in line with that and less in line with that. There's no clear example, and I would say there are many counterexamples of earthly nations. There's no clear example of earthly nations like kind of reaching and ascending to the spot of an ideal nation under God.
Right.
But no, all earthly nations are like they break apart. They descend. They're in some sense they move on a beastly, to use the Revelation 13 understanding. They move in a beastly kind of direction.
Yep.
What else would you say about Sunday school? Even not about the chapter, but just how was the Sunday school? What were some salient things that came up?
Well, yeah. So then a lot of it was just group discussion, right? So we just talked about the power of the tongue and what is this, what are the ways that we're seeking self-justification versus undoing that in our church and in our hearts? And then how does that translate into how we then interact with the world? So it was really good.
What were some of that? So what were some of those, either from the book or from discussion, like how then do we interact with the world? What were some payoffs?
I don't remember all of them.
just ruminate here. Like how's it matters for our workplaces, matters for neighborhoods, matters for all kinds of things. Like, and it matters for the ballot box.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep. I mean, one of the questions that Dave asked is, in light of this, in light of what you've seen, on the news and in your heart, why does politics tend towards group loyalties? Why do you think that's so prevalent? And we just kind of talked about how, because we want to be a part of the group who wins, right? We want to be a part of...
Yeah, everybody loves a winner.
And we want to, we want to... It even gets like to an identity level, like a fundamental, like, well, if this is my identity, then I have to be with this group, which leads to affirming things in the group that we ought not affirm, right?
That's good.
And so just talking about that and how that relates to like the self-justification of what's going on in politics. And we just talked a lot about, if our identity is in Christ, then we're freed.
Yeah.
If we've done these four steps of undoing our self-justification and seeking the rule of God in our hearts, if that's where our identity is, then we're free as a citizen of heaven to speak into all sorts of things, in a way that doesn't make anything ultimately up for grabs for our eternity. So it's kind of that paradox of, the less it's your identity, the more free you are to engage with it in a healthy way. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
And that seems healthy for other people to see as well. Like that's behaving in that way, interacting with others with the flavor and aroma of Christ,
yeah,
has a positive effect in the secular political realm, and spiritually, for them, just as a form of witness as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Look at me, it leavens the entire discourse to have somebody who is a Christian, not self-justified, but an externally justified person living like that way.
Yeah.
Not needing to justify themselves in discourse.
Yep. Or protect their identity.
Right. Right. Yep. But rooted, confident, and therefore capable to enter into the fray of discourse that will, where they will confront, mm-hmm, where they will, agree with others, but according to their identity in Christ. Anything else, Ethan?
I'd just say, if you haven't come to the class yet, it's a really good discussion. So pick up a book and read the chapter and join us.
I see you looking at me while you say that, Nick. Not I have not you. Been in the class because I've been teaching
he glances
class.
At me.
It's fine.
I'm looking at Ethan too.
No, that's kidding. Fine. No, you weren't actually. You were looking at me, but you should look at Ethan. But I'm planning on being there, I hope. Is it this Sunday? Yeah, the class is still going this Sunday.
Well, I'm actually leading it this Sunday.
Yeah, it'll be a couple days old by the time this comes out. But we'll and then taking a week off for Easter and then back on April 7th. All right. Thanks, guys.